Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
All right, guys, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome someone back to the Rebel Capitalist Show. He is the OG Rebel Capitalist himself. He needs no introduction. He's my good buddy, Gerald Celente. Gerald, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it so much and admire so much of what you do and how many people you help with the information that you put out.
Yeah, you know, we had a very great, incredible conversation when we first met a few months ago in Arizona. I believe that was at Max Kaiser's kind of Bitcoin meetup. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about how we get the train back on the tracks, or how we get the United States off this slippery slope. And, you know, that's when we were just dealing with the, we'll call it the Cerveza sickness restrictions. It seems like, you know, back then, obviously, the United States was just in this hysteria, this outrage, that nothing made sense. But now it seems like they've moved from one hysteria to the next hysteria. So it kind of feels like we've moved from the Cerveza sickness outrage to now the Russia-Ukraine outrage. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? And do we need another crisis in order to divert our outrage away from Russia and Ukraine to potentially avoid World War III? Or how do you see it playing out?
Go back to one of our covers of the Trends Journal before the, you know, just when this broke out, we went from COVID war, Ukraine war, to world war. Mm. And the week before, and 2 weeks before that, we had, when all else fails, they take you to war. Right. I'm going back to January and February when the markets were going down. When all else fails, they take you to war. Once upon a time, there was a thing called the Great Depression.
Yeah, right. Well,
ended like that with World War II. Once upon a time, not too long ago, there was a thing called the dot-com bust in March of 2000. Mm. And then they elected, Americans elected a little daddy's boy, a little piece of nothing, born on third base and thought he had a home run, Georgie Bush. Oh, yeah. And his ratings were going down into the toilet, where they all should go into, because the NASDAQ was only down 66% the day before 9/11. Mm. We were in a recession. Oh, we're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive. Can't make that crap up. What did they do? Oh, you remember the housing bubble and the fake markets that they used afterwards to pump it back up? And then what happened? Oh, the panic of 08. So now we're in the same situation. The markets were totally inflated with all of this artificial monetary methadone that they jabbed into the system. Yeah. Between the government and negative interest rates, way negative when you put inflation into it.
Right.
And now, you know, things are going down. Now the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. The crap head. The clown playing chancellor of Germany. And these names, these bullshit names, chancellor, prime minister, you know, you know, screw you. Right. Anyway, the chancellor, some little bastard that's been sucking off the public tit all his life, another arrogant boy. We're not going to let Russia win the in Ukraine. Could you imagine that? They're not going to let Russia win in Ukraine. This thing's only been going on for, I think, about 1,300 years. Oh, Crimea, you know, what was that? Catherine the Great, they were all, oh, and Khrushchev gave Ukraine back when he was drunk. It's none of my business. But what I'm saying is war talk. Hey, remember when, again, not making it up, when little Georgie Bush, I had the quote over here, where was it? The Iraq war. Mm-hmm. Saddam tried to kill my daddy. That's his quote. Saddam tried to kill my daddy. They take you to war. They're doing the same thing now. They didn't show. Well, I'll pick up, you know. Yeah. They didn't show the headlines every day of the destruction going on in Ukraine when America only killed, I think it's about 840,000 Iraqis and destroyed the place. I didn't see those pictures every day. I never saw them. Hey, what about Afghanistan, the longest war in American history? How come I didn't see any pictures of that? How about America is responsible for killing 650,000 Syrians because the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner Barack Obama, Assad has to go. Oh, the same Peace of Crap Prize winner, Gaddafi has to go out of Libya. Oh, Libya, Syria, and Iraq. You know why they invaded them? Because their major export was broccoli. Oh, no, it was oil, Salenti. Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought we went there to give them freedom and justice. All right. They are taking us to war. The media is doing it in front of our eyes. You're only hearing one side of the story. Oh, you know, those Russians, they should be pulling out of Crimea. Hey, what is the American's naval base called in Guantanamo? What country is that? Cuba or something like that? Oh, we have every right to be there, Salenti. Why are you? You're terrible. All right. You see what they're doing to us?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
hatred, the hatred, the hatred. Yeah. Trends Journal, 2014. America's overthrow of the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine, Victoria Nuland, the undersecretary of whatever, and John McCain passing out cookies in Maiden Square. All the facts are here. How the United States overthrew the government. And again, I'm totally opposed to the invasion of Russia. Make it 100% clear. I launched Occupy Peace. Totally opposed to it. But I know the whys. I know the whys of America promising not to, quote, move one inch further in NATO when Gorbachev made the deal to end the Soviet Union. And there were 16 Europe NATO countries. Now there are 30. All right. So I know the why. So what I'm saying is they are leading us to war.
Do you think it's as a diversionary tactic from the inflation that was making the administration incredibly unpopular? Or do you think it's a combination of that and access to Russian oil? Like, you know, you were saying earlier with the other countries that the United States has invaded recently.
I think it's definitely the crash of the economy that was artificially built up, that the equity markets, housing markets, and skyrocketing when they locked down most of the country in 2020 and 2021. What am I, 6 years old? Who the hell are you talking to? You made this shit happen because of all this fake money. And now the game's over. I was down the city, New York, a week ago. You know, I mean, I grew up in the city. I'm originally a Bronx guy, right? I know the city inside out. Go down the West Side Drive, and I got to go east. As I get off, 5:15, rush hour, last Wednesday, the car's going north to get on the West Side Drive from 51st to 57th Street. I look back, not one car, the red light, because we had to make a left, not one car at 5:15 at rush hour. I've never seen the West Side Drive dead like this, even when I used to be going out at, you know, coming back at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've never seen it that dead. All right. Four rent signs everywhere you look. This thing was going down big and it's still going down. The streets are dead at night. You see the inflation rate. Oh, how about the numbers of people that aren't buying as much as they used to when you look at the latest numbers that just came out? All right. So they're getting our mind off it for that. And the other part is, once upon a time, there was a man who was a five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, and two-term president, whose farewell address in January of 1961, Dwight D. Eisenhower, warned the American people that the military-industrial complex was robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. Hey, you want to buy stock? Get that Lockheed. Get that Lockheed. Oh, yeah, buy them in. Buy them in. They're going up. They're going up. Look at the dough they're dumping in to the military-industrial complex. So those are the two things I see.
Do you think that because we pulled out of Afghanistan, we needed another, basically another war, and therefore this is the next Afghanistan?
Probably. This is going to be World War III. And when they asked Albert Einstein, the cat that knew a thing or two about making an atomic bomb, what kind of weapons will be used to fight World War III? He said, I don't know, but they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the fourth. And you're a man that knows the history of empires and how they collapse. You study it, you know it, and you teach me about it, and you teach the people about it. We are the collapse of the American empire.
How do you, you know, I've been thinking or trying to think through something. I'd love to get your take on it. And I was just looking at a chart going back to 1950 or so from the New York Times that showed the amount of sanctions the United States has issued since it kind of officially became, or the dollar became, the world reserve currency. Let's call it 1944 Bretton Woods. And this, as you can imagine, the chart just goes from bottom left almost straight up, upper right. It started off with maybe 5, 10, something like that. Then in 2014, peaks out at like 250, of these, different countries or multiple sanctions for specific countries. And as you know, that's a result of the United States having the world reserve currency. So I look at what's happening in Russia right now, and it obviously the world reserve currency, you don't lose that status overnight. It doesn't bam just happen like that. But you can see the winds of change kind of taking hold here, with Saudi Arabia now selling a lot of their oil to China in yuan, India doing business with Russia in rupees or rubles, Russia demanding payment for natural gas, potentially oil and other commodities, in the ruble. So you can see the kind of gradual decline playing out with the dollar. So if the United States, let's say 2030, 2035, doesn't have the grip over the global economy that they have now, you know, what does that have? What does that mean for the United States and the standard of living if we can't issue all these sanctions? And take it a step further, Gerald, what happens if other countries can sanction us? You know, if China is the largest economic power, therefore the largest superpower in 2030 or 2035, and the dollar no longer has the reserve status, could they sanction us like we have sanctioned Iran? And what does that mean for the American people?
Well, for the American people, it's over already, as I see it. And again, you see the numbers. What are, like, one out of 20% of the people don't have enough money to even live paycheck to paycheck. And the numbers are terrible. Median household income had its biggest decline ever since. It's already over. As I said, the 20th century was the American century. And to follow up on what you're going to make the point that you just asked about to get there, the 21st century is going to be the Chinese century. And the business of America has been war, and the business of China is business. So going back to the sanctions, you mentioned Iran. Did it change the government of Iran? How about that sanctions they put in Cuba back in 1962? Did it make any difference to the people? How about the sanctions they put in on Maduro in Venezuela under Trump and Obama? Did that change the government? It doesn't change the government. It only hurts the people.
Yeah, right.
And what these sanctions have done, they are the most ignorant levels of sanctions that are perfectly acceptable considering the ignorant people that we have running the government. Out of the mouth of Biden, he said, oh, these sanctions won't deter Putin. Oh, wait a minute. Your clown over there, that guy Sullivan, who's the mouthpiece for the Department of Defense, or one of them, he said that they would help hurt Russia.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, who are they hurting? Hey, those fertilizer prices? Boy, they're going up all over the world, huh? Hey, how about those gas prices? What about palladium? You like nickel? Name it. Oh, how about wheat and barley? Yeah. How about all of those products that are skyrocketing in prices because of this inflation that we already had happening that has now been made 10 times worse by the moronic sanctions? We have to understand something. The people in charge don't know what they're doing. You show me one great thing that the federal government has done to improve our lives. And when it comes to talking about war and waging more war, show me one successful one they've had since World War II.
Yeah. You know, what I've been saying a lot on social media, and I think it's true, is that sanctions are a way for rich people to make themselves feel good, like we're doing something at the expense of poor people.
Well said.
Yeah.
So that's what we're at, you know, and this thing's going down big. It's going down big, and I'm very bullish on, you know, my, as I say, GSB, gold, silver, and Bitcoin. And people need safe haven assets. And by the way, I want to make this very clear. To keep your money in the bank, to me, only speaking for myself, and I put it in other places that people will never find, why would I keep my money in the bank when they're not giving me any interest on it and they're making money on my money? But number two, let's pretend we're having this interview and all of a sudden one of my staff comes over. Gerald, a bomb just dropped on Wall Street. Ladies and gentlemen, we're closing down the banking system. The Russians have hacked it. We're doing this to protect your money and to make sure that you'll get some of it back. I want to tell you what happened on 9/11. USA Today used to run my top trends every year when it was a big newspaper. And the headline, they come out the trends in December for January. So in December 2000, the headline read, 2001 won't be our year, Trendsier says. I warned that a wave of anti-Americanism was sweeping the globe and Americans wouldn't be safe at home or abroad. Hmm. People forget about Bill Clinton killing all those people in Iraq, only Madeleine Albright saying the death of 500,000 was worth the price of sanctions. The Yugoslav war was going on in Israel, Palestinian, on and on all the wars. And as we used to say in the Bronx, payback's a bitch. So I thought something would happen. Anyway, I'm watching CNBC and they had this guy, an arrogant guy. He said, "Yeah, we're going to take a break." He said, "You know, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. Let's not get excited about this." It's a beautiful sunny day. I'm watching this. And all of a sudden, boom, they show that thing. First thing I did, I picked up the phone and I called my girlfriend at the time, Marie-Pierre. Marie-Pierre's brother, Francois, was the left shoulder of Jacques Chirac in Mitterrand. My close combat guys used to go out and work out of Palace Elysée. She's living up near me over here when I was from Rhinebeck. I said, "Get your money out of the bank. They just hit the World Trade Center." "Oh, Gerald, you're kidding." I said, "No, I'm not." I'm thinking if the planes are going down the Hudson River, Indian Point nuclear power plant is about 30 miles north of New York City. If they hit that power plant, it's going to be chaos like you've never seen before. So I had my guns golden, a getaway plan. Next thing I did, I called up. I had CDs at those times when you used to get money on your interest. "I want my CDs. I want to send the money to my bank in Rhinebeck." "I'm sorry, Mr. Salenti. Wall Street is closed. You can't get your money. Screw you. It's our money. We'll give it to you when we want to, if we want to.
Right.
That's the story. We are in a crisis stage. Again, they asked Einstein what kind of weapons will be used. He said, I don't know. They didn't know anything about cyber warfare back then. So what I'm just telling the people, think for yourself, but for me, you better have your money on your hands where you can get it, because they're going to get it. And again, my GCs, 3Gs, guns, gold, and a getaway plan.
I think that's extremely important right now. In fact, that's, I remember when Russia invaded Ukraine, whatever it was, 30, 40, 50 days ago, something like that. And that's the first thing I did is, as I talked to my family, I called my mom and my sister in Dallas, just to make sure that they've got kind of a getaway plan. You know, I text my sister and I said, you know, how close are you to Mexico, or what, just think through this. If you needed to go to Mexico for a while, just think through, the path you'd take, look at a map, make sure you've got some food in the car. And just, there's no downside to it whatsoever. You don't want to lose sleep over it, but it's better to be prepared, and it's better to prepare a year too early than a day too late. And so I think that is just the main takeaway right now, and self-sufficiency. Yep. You know, one thing Biden did admit, Gerald, is that we would have food shortages.
Yeah.
You notice that he admitted that the sanctions don't do much against Russia, but he did admit that prices for food would skyrocket, what we're seeing. And yep. He even talked about food shortages. Now, we haven't seen that, to my knowledge, although last time I was in the United States, I would walk across the street to Whole Foods and 10 or maybe 15% of the shelves were completely barren.
Yep.
So I don't know that you'd call that a food shortage, but you couldn't get the stuff you wanted. That's for sure. So, how does the average American prepare if the United States goes and we have these food shortages, or you just can't afford the price of food? I mean, maybe we get to that point. I don't know.
Well, you said self-sufficiency. Yeah, this is from the CNBC, April 6th. A fertilizer shortage worsened by war in Ukraine is driving up global food prices and scarcity. Yeah. So it's exactly what you just said. So what do you do? As I said, one of mine is guns, gold, and a getaway plan. And by the way, my getaway plan was I had maps and I was going to take back roads to Canada. Mm. I'm 4 hours from Canada, Canadian border.
Right.
And then I figured from Canada, I could get anywhere I wanted to. And I filled up jerry jugs. I went out and bought jerry jugs and filled them with gasoline and loaded them in my car. And so what you made the point to prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen and you're prepared, you lose nothing.
Yeah, right.
If the worst happens and you're not prepared, you could lose everything, including your life.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
You know, you were really had your finger on the pulse of everything back prior to the Iraq war, you know, back in early 2000s. How back then when you were looking at the media, the way the media was portraying Saddam Hussein in Iraq, was that similar, or how was it similar and how is it different to what they're doing today with Putin and Russia?
Oh, it's what they're doing today is much worse than back then.
Really?
Much worse. Much worse. That was in and out. That was in and out. This is all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time.
Right.
The hatred that the American people have for the Russian people is astonishing.
Yeah.
And again, people bought, again, as one of the covers of our magazine, the Trends Journal, going back to when the COVID war was launched, and we said, dumb enough to believe Bush's wars. And we had it, and we have a great artist, Anthony Frieda, and he had George Bush looking like that guy used to be on Mad Magazine. What was his name?
Oh, the kid with the freckles or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dumb enough to believe Bush's wars, dumb enough to believe the COVID war. Dumb enough to people just buy what the media is selling. And when you go back to the Iraq war, remember the New York Times lied and they said they had evidence that Saddam Hussein has these aluminum tubes bringing up from Niger. You know, but what's going on now is far, 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 far beyond it. Here, I'm not making this stuff up. When you, this is from DW, the German news agency, again, on April 6th. Russia must not win war, German Chancellor Scholz tells Bundestag. Oh, you're saying what should happen over there? It's none of your business. Oh, it's our business. Oh, you mean the Germans that killed, let me see, I'm not good at math, 27 million Russians? Oh, you guys telling the oh, that was only World War II. Oh, and by the way, who were the first people to defeat Hitler? Oh, the Russians. Oh, and then there was this guy named Napoleon who leaves Poland in 1812 with 420,000 troops to go into Moscow and comes back with 10,000. Oh, you're going to beat the Russians? Oh, we're going to send them more armaments. We're going to keep this war going. We'll kill more people. No one is talking about peace. Peace has become a dirty word.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to beat the Russians. All this is going to do, the more weapons that you keep going, out of the mouth of a guy that a cartoon, this could not come out better with Boris Johnson, the clown playing the prime minister of the UK.
Hmm.
You look at that jerk. You know what he wants to do? Quote, send more lethal weapons. Oh, what's the definition of lethal? Oh, deadly, you kill it? Send more lethal weapons. No talk about peace. Say, how can we make this happen? Article out in the Wall Street Journal that Zelensky, the guy who's playing the president of Ukraine, who, as you well know, formerly played as a comedian, the president of Ukraine on TV.
You just can't make this stuff up, can you, Gerald? You
can't make this up, right? You can't make it up. Alfred E. Newman, that's the Bush guy at Mad Magazine. Anyway, you Wall Street Journal, big article. Russia wanted basically three things from Ukraine. Number one, you're never going to join NATO. We don't want you on our border. Number two, the separation of the area, the Donbas region,
right,
from
right.
Yep. And that there would be, you know, there'll be no more trying to join in anything. Neutrality. And they rejected it. Those to me are not over the top, you know.
Yeah, and I don't, and it, I mean, to your earlier point, it doesn't justify invading Ukraine.
No.
I don't think either of us are trying to make excuses for Russia. But I think we are trying to say, at least I've been trying to say this extensively, that there's a lot of nuance here that people need to think through. And just to be careful, you know, don't allow the media to get you whipped up into an emotional frenzy to where you completely abandon critical thinking and just put a Ukrainian flag on your social media profile and just try to absorb information in the form of bumper stickers and just try to make this out to be good versus evil. I think that's the worst thing people can do. I think that all politicians are bad. I think Putin's a crook. I think he's crazy. I think so is Biden. So is Trudeau. So is probably Zelensky. they're all crooks.
Yep.
So I'm for the people. I'm against the politicians. And I think it's, like I said, I think it's very dangerous for people just to paint this as simply good versus evil and ignore all of the nuance, because that makes you susceptible to potentially supporting World War III. And I think that's the end game for the global elite and the useful idiots in the media.
I agree with you. I want to show you a headline from the Financial Times on April 2nd. China tells Brussels not to cling to U.S. as rift widens over Putin's war. The 20th century was the American century. The 21st is going to be the Chinese century, because the business of America has been war and the business of China has been business.
Right.
So China will not come out against Russia. India will not come out against Russia. So now we're talking about almost 3 billion people out of a global population of almost 8 billion. How many people are there in Europe and America and Canada? And maybe about almost a little less than 800 million. Okay, 800 million against 4 billion, and the winner is.
Yeah. You know, I just did some research on that prior to our conversation, Gerald, because the pushback you usually get is Chinese demographic problem, and that the United States has a younger population and we can, allow for immigration and whatnot. And that's true. It's definitely an advantage we have. But I think people need to realize, and I actually looked at the numbers, that China, just between the ages of 0 and 14 years old, just in that age group, China has 250 million people.
Yeah.
So if I get it, China has a demographic problem. But if you look at their population, and I didn't have the specific numbers, but I would imagine under 20, they have a higher number of people under 20 than we do people. Like total,
in the United States.
So I they do have a demographic problem, but I don't know that prevents them from overtaking the United States as far as their total GDP by, let's say, 2030, 2035, something like that. I hate to say that. I don't say that with a level of excitement or satisfaction. It is what it is. And I think you've got to be realistic about it. And I think the United States could do things to change. I think we have an incredible infrastructure here. The highway system's incredible. I would put our 1%, meaning the entrepreneurs, the producers of the United States, up against any entrepreneurs in the world. And I think we'd win for sure. But it's just, if the United States is going to continue to shoot themselves in the foot with this woke attitude, with this cancel culture, with this ESG movement, to where we're anti-self-sufficiency when it comes to producing our own food and our own energy. I mean, if we continue down this path, it leads to China having the largest economy.
Exactly. And again, it's because of all the government mandates that they put on us, on businesses.
Yep.
They went to other countries because the labor was cheaper and the regulations weren't as strict. And of course, then you had the politicians that did it, like Bill Clinton with NAFTA and bringing China into the World Trade Organization. I agree with you 1,000%. The only way we are going to be able to survive and thrive is to become self-sufficient. We have all the human and natural resources we need. And by the way, that's exactly what China is doing with their dual circulation policy. Yes, we're going to continue to export as much as we can, but we're going to be as self-sufficient as we can. And people won't be buying from other countries. They'll be buying made in China from the people in China. So their dual circulation policy, they're doing it. And that's what we need to do. We need to become a self-sufficient economy. Without it, we lose. And by the way, the loss, as I see it now, with this inflation skyrocketing, the Federal Reserve is going to have to push interest rates up. They're going to be stopping the monetary methadone. And I believe we are going to go into the worst crash in modern history, worse than the crash of 29 and worse than the Great Depression. Because in the Great Depression, prices went down.
You're right.
In this one, I call it dragflation. The economy is going to drag down and inflation is going to skyrocket. Welcome to Argentina.
Yeah, Gerald, you obviously lived through the 1970s, and I would assume you remember it well. How did the 1970s compare to what we've experienced in the United States over the last, let's say, year and a half or so?
It was very different in the sense that, you know, life went on. Like, I remember working and getting a 10% raise because inflation was going up.
Yeah.
Just everything was still going up. Yeah, the prices are going up, but your wages were going up. Lifestyle was going up. It wasn't all down. Mm. And now it's all down. It's all down. Here. You look at the current cover of the Trends Journal that Anthony Frieda did with the Oscar and the clown guy he put on a skeleton. The Oscars, the Grammys are perfect examples of how low America's fallen.
Mm, right.
You don't have to look any further. Look what the people look like. You know, look at, again, with this whole COVID thing. And yeah, you know, I put the numbers out because I put a magazine out. I mean, 94% of the people that died of the virus had 2.6 pre-existing comorbidities, with obesity ranking number one.
Right.
Of the 693 1 to 17-year-olds that died over 2 years out of 74 million people, 61% in the United States were obese.
Yeah.
Look what the country looks like. And you're talking about all this woke society. Look at the clown. Look at the clown that's playing our, you know, health minister or whatever the hell they call him, this Rachel Levin. The guy got more chins than Chinatown, but he's not a guy anymore. He became Rachel. Look, man, you want to do your own trip? Take it easy. Do what the hell you want. But don't tell me I got to swallow your crap. Got it? You got your head problem. Don't tell me this is normal, Salenti, and you have to accept it. I say, screw you, Jack. Oh, no, Jill. Got to be careful. Oh, the admiral? How about the rear admiral? Maybe that makes you happier.
Yeah, it's that's another concern I have is when you see kind of the direction the United States is going as far as becoming more and more liberal and more accepting. I think that's fantastic. We should definitely be accepting. But at a certain point, you can be accepting to the detriment of others.
Yep.
And as an example, we'll use this, the Leah Thomas swimmer person. And, you know, so that's an interesting example because you've got this person that was obviously biological male, and they're competing in women's swimming, just destroying all of the women competitors. And so do you want to be accepting of this person? Yes, but think about what you're doing. You're being accepting to one person to potentially destroy the lives of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the form of women swimmers. You know, maybe not destroying their lives, but you're being fair to one person to be unfair, let's say, to 500 people. And it's weird because if you just do a simple cost benefit analysis, you're like, okay, listen, the world is an unfair place. We're imperfect humans in an imperfect world. We're going to have to make decisions. And at some point we're going to have to make a decision that to be fair to the majority, we're going to have to be unfair to a minority. It's just, that's life. But for some reason we don't even acknowledge that. We don't even do that cost benefit analysis. We don't even like to answer or try to think about the difficult questions. And if we don't think through those difficult questions with as little emotion as possible, how do we get to a point where we can be self-sufficient? That's my concern.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this thing is, you know, again, you know, the term liberal, by the way. A liberal is willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own, open to new ideas.
Yeah.
These aren't liberals. They're libtards.
Yeah. The opposite of liberal is what we're seeing today.
Yeah, no, I look at what you're saying about this whole thing. I mean, again, you got your trip, you know, take it easy. I could care less who you are. Black, white, green, yellow. I don't care how many genders you are. But don't tell me, you know, that I got to be what you want to be, or I should believe what you want to believe.
Yeah, right.
That's your trip. And here's the thing now, how bad it's gotten. Now with the new passports in America, you don't have to put whether you're male or female. You put just an X. X marks the spot.
It depends. How do I feel when I wake up this morning, Gerald? you know, one question I really want to ask you is, I think it's so difficult in today's day and age because of all the propaganda that you see in the media, not just in the West, but in Russia. I mean, obviously they're using propaganda, just like we're using propaganda. They're using it in Saudi Arabia and all these other countries. It's just nonstop, like a fire hose of propaganda coming at you. So for the person that actually wants to know the truth, how do you find it? You've been publishing a paper for, you know, however many decades. What are your tricks that you use? What are your tips for the average American to try to know what is true and what is fake news?
For one, you don't even bother going on, you know, TV crap, you know, cable.
Yeah, right.
You know, I could care less. Yeah, like I just showed you the Financial Times, right? So every day I get delivered hard copy, the New York Times, Financial Times, and Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Again, I know what to expect from them. Now, what I also do is I go online and I read the Global Times from China.
Mm.
I read the Jerusalem Post. I read Haaretz to get the other side of what's going on in Israel. Right. I go to Fars News Agency. I want to know what's going on in Iran, what they're saying. Then I go to Al Jazeera, get their point of view from it. I go to Japanese news. I go to all over the world and look at what others are saying. Mm. And then you keep lining the facts up, put the facts up. Like I said, we're talking now about Ukraine. I showed you the magazine, the Trends Journal. You know, it used to be a quarterly. Now it's a weekly. This week was 185 pages, no ads. We put all the facts in there. We give the factual story. Then right in front of you, our trend forecast. This is where we see it going. Right. Our trend post, what it means, what it says. And then the motto of the magazine is think for yourself. So we put all the facts down, then we give our analysis. But I have to tell you, it never stops. I've never worked harder in my life. Right. It's a continual learning process. I didn't know what I know now 10 years ago, 20 years ago. When I was a kid, I was perfect Vietnam War era. You know, I'm 75. I was right at the peak of it. And I was too stupid to be against the war. I believed the BS they were throwing out there. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't imagine me walking in water this high with a gun, holding a gun and a lot of weight on my back and getting shot at. That's why I did everything to beat the war. Oh, by the way, unlike a fat mouth coward by the name of Joe Biden, who did everything he could to beat the Vietnam War and got all those draft deferments. Oh, you didn't go fight, fat mouth, but boy, are you a tough guy now. All right. So I'm saying I was stupid back then. And you keep learning. And then, but it's a total process of concentration every day. I send my writers 2 times a week stacks that big, articles I've read, underline the salient points and make notes. Because when you underline something, it also puts your mind back into it.
Right.
Again, when I read the New York Times, I know what I'm going to get from it. Oh, and this is an important quote for everybody to listen to.
Yeah.
We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. William J. Casey, CIA director, 1981.
Mm.
Or is it 1984?
Right. Yeah, I think that's really the message. You know, what's interesting about that, what you just said, is I asked Jim Rogers the exact same question, and he gave me the exact same answer. Yeah. Identical, Gerald. And so I think that we need to learn from people like you and Jimmy, who have been doing this, you know, for decades and decades and decades, and it's been your business to sift through all the noise and the propaganda to actually find the truth when it comes to geopolitics and just, I guess, domestic lives as well. You know, what do you think about this? What I've noticed, especially since COVID, is every single thing, pretty much the mainstream media has come out and labeled quote unquote disinformation has been truth 6 months later, or is truth 6 months later. So do you think that, would you go that far to just assume, or maybe initially assume, that anything they label disinformation, they're doing that intentionally to hide the truth from you? And it, whatever they label, give that label to, will most likely be proved accurate in months to come?
Yeah. Again, yeah. Look at their track record. Exactly. Again, look who they are. I call them prestitutes. Media whores that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and their government whoremasters. Need right. more proof? The mouth for Biden over there, Psaki.
Yeah, all right. She went to go work for like MSNBC, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, you call that journalism? Right. Oh, who is that arrogant boy that, ooh, that arrogant, what's his name? It starts with an A on ABC. What the hell's his show? He was worked for Clinton. He has a Greek name.
George.
Stephanopoulos.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Was with the Clinton. One after another. As George Collins said, it's one big club and you ain't in it.
Right.
So what they're doing is that's the club. I mean, it's right in front of your eyes. How damn stupid could you be to watch any of the crap shooting out of their mouths? They all got, I will go to Fox because I like what they say and they say it the way I want to hear it. I go to NBC, MSNBC because I like what they say and they say the way I want to hear it.
Right.
How about just putting the facts out and you deciding what, you know, the bottom line is?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it.
Yeah.
And again, it's been going on forever. I read you the quote from Casey.
Yeah.
Again, it's been going on. Hey, remember the Maine? Oh, was that Hearst newspapers? The ship over there and started the war down there with Cuba? Oh, that one? Remember the Maine? I mean, it's all propaganda.
Yeah. But I think knowing that it's propaganda and knowing that they're trying to get you emotionally charged, I think that's half the battle. And I know the people that watch my channel and follow your work, they understand that. But I think we just need to open up more people's eyes to the fact, you know, so many people understand now that the media was completely lying to us during COVID. But yet they believe every single thing the same media is telling them about Russia. So we just got to remind people that, hey, guys, the same group that lied to you over here is telling you, you know, what's happening on a geopolitical level over here. It's been proven that you were correct to not trust them over the past 2 years. Maybe you should be a little more skeptical about what they're telling you now and what they will tell you in the future. I think that if people could just do that, I think that'd be a big win.
You're not going to get them. You know, there's that great quote by Samuel Adams. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men.
There you go.
It's with the one we have to unite. You know, when I was a kid, I'd say to my, I'd be talking to my father, may I rest in peace, and I'd be, you know, blowing my top off. And he says, son, take it easy. You know, I'm talking about issues. He said, people have little minds. I'll never forget that. Let's go back to what I was talking about with little Georgie, daddy's boy, Bush, starting the Afghan war. 88% of the people believed it and followed
him. Yeah, right.
So it has to be our irate, tireless minority. And, you know, when the Revolutionary War started, they say less than 5% of the people supported it. At the height, it was only around 50% or less. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So we need a new system. We need a new political party, a people's party. One of the people I would love to see run, who I do a podcast with each Wednesday, and it goes on 6 p.m. on my channel, Gerald Celente, is Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Yeah.
And he's no longer with Fox.
Yeah.
And I did a talk for Ron Paul. And Ron Paul had an event in Washington, D.C. in Labor Day 2021. And it was Napolitano, Massey, the guy that's the...
Thomas Massey.
Yep. And RFK Jr. and myself. And I'm very good friends with Napolitano. We try to see each other once a month. Go meet for dinner halfway. And this is a guy that is really the judge of freedom and a man of peace and a defender of justice.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And there's nobody that I know that has the authority and judicial background of this guy. And we start talking about, so all of a sudden, boom, 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 the facts about, no, this is the bill. This is the Constitution. This is what it means. It's all about freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom is the word. And to me, we have to get a new political party or under a libertarian party and run someone like him and an RFK Jr. and we could win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I've interviewed the judge and that was one of the best conversations I've had on the Rebel Capitalist show. That was really,
right?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I sure did. So I couldn't agree with you more.
But we need a new way. We need a new way. If we don't, we lose. If we don't, we lose. We have a crime syndicate that morons and imbeciles call a government. It's a crime syndicate. They're murderers and thieves. Yeah. Oh, what do you mean, thieves? Hey, they're too big to fail, Salenti. They're the banks. They're too big to fail. We'll dump $29 trillion, the Federal Reserve, from 2007 to 2010 because, hey, but you're just a piece of crap. Oh, and by the way, all you other morons, you're Walmart, Kmart, Kroger, Home Depot. Your essential businesses. Yeah. We're closing down everybody else during the COVID war. You're non-essential.
Yeah, right.
They're murderers because how many more wars do they have to start? They're murderers and thieves. It's a crime syndicate. And we have to change it. Or else World War III is on the horizon.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Gerald, in the sake of time, buddy, we'll have to leave it there for, as always, fantastic conversation. I really enjoy any of the time that we get to spend together, whether it's just via Zoom or face-to-face. You know, I can't wait to, I'm sure I'll see you again this year. I'm not sure where we'll meet up at a live event, but I look forward to it. For the viewers and listeners who want to find out more about what you do, where can they go? Where can they check out that show with the judge? Just give them all your social media.
Okay, the judge is very simple. You just go to Salenti on YouTube, C-E-L-E-N-T-E, book popped up. And the magazine, of course, is a Trends Journal. It's a weekly. And there's no magazine, I'm not saying because it's mine, nothing could come close to it. We tell you what in the world is going on, you know, what it means and what's next. And how we do our very best to help people prepare and prevail in these times ahead.
Yeah.
And it's never been more critical now to really, this is the bottom line. Everybody, please get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We're in the fight for our lives. And the more of us that get to who we want to be and be who we are and unite, then we could win. But it's up to you to get in the best shape possible. And by the way, there's a lawsuit going on right now in Canada. And they're going after the so-called health minister because when they closed down everything, they said, how come you never came on TV and told people to get into better shape and to get healthy? And why did you put these restrictions on us? Because it's the unhealthy, the obese, the overweight, those suffering from heart disease and other respiratory ailments that are being taken out by COVID. Why weren't you out there telling the people to get into better health? So that's my message to everyone. United we stand, divided we fall. And to unite, we have to be as strong as we can, as again, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you do it, we Rebel, what you're doing out there and helping people unite in that way. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for being here, Gerald. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Do you enjoy watching these interviews I do for the Rebel Capitalist show? Well, if so, you would absolutely love Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the conference I do twice per year. And we've had speakers like Robert Kiyosaki, Lynn Alden, Rick Rule, Jeff Snyder, and Dr. Ron Paul, just to name a few. So go to RebelCapitalistLive.com and check out the next event we have scheduled in Miami. Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.